We honor, as I said, our Blessed Mother on this most magnificent feast. And on this day, I would like you to become more aware of the power of intercession that she has with Almighty God, and to see what the, and to understand better what those, what are the consequences of her intercession with God. In today's epistle, which is taken from the book of Judith, these words were said in praise of the woman who risked her life to kill the leader, the general of the army of their enemies that were opposing them. Holofernes was his name. She could have easily been apprehended, executed herself. It was a very difficult mission that she had. But they were in a state of war with their enemies. And so, having cut off the head of their general Holofernes secretly, and then being able to exit the camp and not be discovered, the following day when the great battle took place and they rushed to their leader, they found him decapitated, and they flew into a panic. And because of that, the Israelites were able to decisively defeat them. And in praise of this woman, Judith, these words were all said in her honor. And I'll just repeat a short sentence here. Thou hast prevented, or thou hast not spared thy life by reason of the distress and tribulation of thy people, but hast prevented our ruin. Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. So these words were said about this holy and courageous woman who risked all to help save her people. But even more are these words applied to the most holy woman of all time, most blessed Virgin. She did far more. She suffered far more. She endured far more than did Judith. For reason do we say these, we say these words, Holy Mother Church, apply these words to Our Lady, and that's why they're in the epistle today. And it goes to show what one person can do by way of intercession. One person doing something helped make a difference. And Judith relied on God. She prayed, she fasted before she embarked on her dangerous mission. And it was, and she knew it would not have happened without God's help. But nevertheless, she was the instrument. So that's perhaps not exactly an intercessory thing, but nevertheless an intermediary thing. It was because of her that this great event for the safety of the Israelites happened. I want to tell you about another great person, very great person of the Old Testament, who achieved much for the Israelites by his leadership, by his prayer, by his fasting. And it's very, very striking. This is about Moses. And I want to read to you part of chapter 32 from Exodus so you can see what he achieved through his intercessory prayer. You're familiar with the story, how Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the tablets of stone, and he was up there for 40 days. And the people down at the bottom were getting impatient, and they were going to end up completely turning their backs on God and falling into idolatry. It was that horrible. Let's listen to it. And the people, seeing that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, gathering together against Aaron, said, "Arise, make us gods that may go before us. For as to this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him." And Aaron said, now this is the high priest who's also apostatized along with the people. "Take the golden earrings from the ears of your wives and your sons and daughters and bring them to me." And the people did what he had commanded, bringing the earrings to Aaron. And when he had received them, he fashioned them by founder's work and made of them a molten calf, the golden calf. And they said, These are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Do you hear how horrible this complete and total rebellion was? They knew that the one true God brought them out of Egypt, but now they, with the assistance of Aaron, they're making a golden calf to worship and saying, this is what brought us out of Egypt. You can scarcely think of any clearer renunciation of the one true God. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it and made proclamation by a crier's voice, saying, tomorrow is the solemnity of the Lord. And rising in the morning, they offered holocausts and peace victims, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. Full on apostasy, full on rejection of the true God, offering holocausts, offering worship. Now it's time to play and have festivity. And the high priest was most complicit. This is where the part that I especially want you to notice. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go get thee down. Thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, have sinned. They have quickly strayed from the way which thou didst show them, and they have made to themselves a molten calf, and have adored it, and sacrificed victims to it, and have said, these are thy gods, O Israel, that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And again the Lord said to Moses, see, this people is stiff-necked. Leave me alone, that my wrath may be kindled against them, and that I may destroy them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So in verse 10, what did God say? Stop praying for these people, because while you're praying and interceding for them, I can't punish them. I want to punish them. I want to destroy them. They have every reason to be destroyed. And Moses, you're faithful. Let's start a new family, a new nation with you, just like God started things with Abraham centuries before. But you see that phrase, let me alone. Do you hear the power of intercession that Moses has with God? He's holding back the hand of wrath. And because Moses keeps beseeching God and he reasons with God, he says, don't, please, God, forgive them. Most of them will repent. Don't let it be said that you brought these people out of Egypt just to destroy them. People will forget that it's because of their sin. So please forgive them. And Moses prayed and fasted. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights along with Elias. That's why he and Elias were with our Lord on Mount Tabor for the transfiguration. At least that's what the fathers of the church think. So we are amazed, are we not, at the power of intercession of one man who is standing in the way of the complete annihilation of the chosen people because of his intercession. But there's a greater intercessor than Judith and Moses. Her name is the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. She is far greater than Moses. Moses was a mere man, a very good, holy man, a great leader. But now we're talking about God's mother. And we're talking about her perfect child who honors his mother. At the wedding feast of Cana, she says, they have no wine. They run short. And Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. Woman, and by the way, that was not disrespectful. That is just absolutely horrid to even to have anybody imply that Jesus would ever do anything in the least imperfect. Our Lord was saying a title of respect for her, and also by saying woman, he was unequivocally reminding everyone of what was said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will place enmity between thee and the woman. And that verse ends with, and that woman shall crush thy head. So our Lord is showing prophecy is being fulfilled by calling her that respect. And it doesn't translate well into our English language. It would come across as disrespectful in English. Woman. But that's, again, the difficulty with getting the best translation possible. But it's very clear that our Lord was most respectful and loving to his mother. And he says, woman, my hour has not yet come. So just as God is saying to Moses, I want to destroy these people, but you're going to have to stop beseeching me for mercy because I have to listen to your prayer. So my hour has not yet come. This is not the time, my dear mother, to work a miracle. She doesn't even further discourse with our Lord. She doesn't have to give the reasons like Moses does. She knows her power. And so she says to the attendants, do whatever he tells you. She forces Jesus' hand, so to speak. Now, let's be aware that God did not change his mind. He already foresaw these from all eternity. In other words, he knew that because of Moses' intercession and Our Lady's intercession, he would already do what he did. So let's not attribute just merely human consideration here. But there is the power of Mary. And this is one of the verses why we say that not only is Mary Mother of God and co-redemptrix, she is the mediatrix of all graces. Through her intercession, I mean, look what Moses was able to achieve. How much more would the Mother of God not achieve? Through her intercession. And all graces, at least by her intercession, have come to us through her. You know, this is a doctrine that should have been solemnly proclaimed at Vatican II if it had been a true council of the church. And there was support from all the conservative cardinals and bishops. Let's proclaim solemnly the intercessory power of Our Lady. But remember, the modernists who controlled that council would have none of it because that would displease the Protestants. Remember, it was all about the ecumenism, the false ecumenism. I hope one day we will have a council of the church solemnly proclaim the truth that Mary's power of intercession with God, her mediatrix, her mediation of all graces, her mediation with the one mediator with the Father is a fact and a truth and something to be believed. Remember that when she has been taken up to heaven, her power of intercession does not diminish in the least. She knows what to ask for, and God is pleased with her intercession. Look how pleased he was with Judith. Look how pleased he was with Moses. And most of all, look how pleased as he is with his mother. She interceded here on earth. She's interceding till the end of time. We can't thank her enough, can we? For all that she has saved us from, all that she has helped us with. Keep growing in your devotion to Mary. There, as the saints would say, St. Louis says, of Mary there is never enough. And by honoring her, we honor Jesus, who is most pleased with his mother, who for all eternity sits at his right hand as mother of him, mother of us, and queen of heaven and earth. A blessed feast of the Assumption to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.